It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker. It's a Wisdom Wednesday presented by SeatGeek. Just make sure you got that SeatGeek app on your phone. Concerts, baseball. We got NFL preseason. We'll be here before you know it. And it's insane the prices you can get on NFL preseason games when you use the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Tucker to get $20 off already crazy low ticket prices. It's a Wednesday, which means we've got Andrew Brandt. Perfect, perfect day to talk to Andrew Brandt as always. And we've got the Spread the Word winner, Larry Russo, who I think might be from he's from one of the Abingtons. It's either the one outside of Philly, where I am right now for the Podcast Movement Conference, or maybe the Abington that's up more like in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. I just saw on his Facebook profile something from Abington. I didn't really check it. At any rate, Larry liked the podcast on Monday with Melissa Jacobs, the football girl, on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. So congratulations, Larry. Send me an email, ross@rostucker.com, and just let me know if you want a signed picture, a signed press pass, a signed pass from the NFFC. There's a lot of different things I can send your way. Or maybe you just want a free month over at tuckheads.com. Like anybody that sends in a sponsor confirmation email gets right now, which we're giving away free months of Tuckheads like hotcakes right now, because anybody that sends in a sponsor confirmation takes advantage of any of our sponsors over at rostucker.com automatically gets a free month. We got Tony on there, the welder from York. He's been dropping bombs on tuckheads.com, which is awesome. Love getting some fresh new blood on there. Keep it coming. He's not fresh new blood, but he is awesome. And I did get a chance to talk to him in person yesterday here in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, my man, Andrew Brandt. He's the big show.
The big show.
Never a dull moment in the National Football League, which also means it's never not a good time to have Andrew Brandt, the host of the Business of Sports podcast, long time executive for the Green Bay Packers. Now he's got all kinds of things. He's writing, he's TV, he's running the sports law program over at Villanova University. And Andrew, you're right on time, as always, with one of the big news items being Julio Jones, with 3 years left on his contract, is choosing to hold out, even though Andrew reportedly, the Falcons told him they're not giving him a new deal this year. They will revisit it next offseason. He's still not there.
Yeah, good day, Ross. This is something that happens every year. Seems like it happens more than often, and teams have to deal with it. I dealt with it at the Packers. You go to a guy, you do a big contract with Jones. They did it 2 years ago, and now he's upset. What's happened is the market has passed him by. We saw those free agent contracts, Sammy Watkins, Allen Robinson, $14-15 a year. And, of course, they're not the player that Julio Jones is. But as a team guy, Ross, I'm frustrated for the Falcons because they did give him this big contract. It's got 3 years left. Imagine if they did something. There'd be a line at their door with guys with 2 years left, guys with 1 year left, and I know people are saying, well, they're not Julio Jones. But everything is not just about the one guy. It's about precedent. It's about what's going forward. Matt Ryan, who they just did, only had 1 year left. So this is not a comparable situation. I think Julio Jones will not report now, but I think he'll report at some point before camp. And I think if you play it out, Ross, I think there will be fines that will be waived. So it's just kind of like, okay, he's going to express his disobedience for now, but he'll be there. And like you said, they're not going to adjust the contract. And he's going to be stuck with what he has, which 2 years ago was a deal he loved.
So he signed a 5-year, $71 million deal in August of 2015. So about 3 years ago, but it was an extension. So he had 1 year left. So he's only 2 years into the five new years. $47 million of it guaranteed, Andrew. And what a coincidence. As soon as there's no more guaranteed money,
he is now holding out. I guess there's different ways to look at this, right? If they don't fine him, then what's to prevent any player from doing this? Just skipping training camp every year. Less wear and tear on the body. Training camp stinks. If the team's not going to fine you, then just sit out and come back for week one.
Yeah, I mean, this is the quid pro quo, and it went on with Aaron Donald last year, and we can talk about him again this year, but he held out all of camp, didn't get what he wanted, came back with his tail between his legs, but his consolation prize, reportedly, no fines. And I say reportedly because it's interesting, because I don't think teams want it out there that they've relieved fines, right? Because that's exactly what you're talking about. If it's out there that Julio's not getting fined, there's the precedent. But then we get back to, well, it's Julio Jones. Could some other player get that treatment as well? So we will never know, in my opinion, accurately from either Jimmy Sexton or the Falcons, if he comes back, whether fines were waived or not. We can surmise, we can guess, like with Aaron Donald, those reports, no fines. But for precedent's sake, the Falcons aren't going to let that information out. I don't think Jimmy Sexton, the agent, is going to let that information out. People will predict, pundits like myself will say there's no fines, but we'll find out. Like you said, they've got to protect that precedent. Bottom line is, Julio Jones is not getting a new contract. He's got to accept that. He has his civil disobedience now. It may go a week, may go 2 weeks. I don't think anyone expects it'll go into late August, but he's out acting out in the way that he knows right now.
Don't these things usually get resolved in the sense, Andrew, that the team moves up money from future years? Like, no new money, but they move some up so that the guy is getting a little bit more of it now. I mean, if they've already said that they're willing to do something with 2 years left, which, by the way, that's a heck of a precedent there when they don't even do that for Matt Ryan, but they've already said that they thought that that would appease him, and evidently it didn't. But if you're already going to do that, he's to make $10.5 million this year, $12.5 million next, and $11.5 million in 2020. If they're already going to redo it going into next year, couldn't they easily just move $2 million bucks up from next year to this year if that's what it takes to make him happy and get him in there?
It's an interesting concept because they could do that, but then they're worried about next year's only making $10 million or whatever it is, because then you have that. Precedent is so important to teams, and I talk about this all the time. People think about the individual case and Julio's underpaid and Sammy Watkins making so much more. But if a team does this, then it's out there. Then it's precedent. Then there's a line at the door. Listen, Julio Jones, I dealt with this at the Packers with receivers like a Javon Walker, like a Donald Driver, where we had these issues. And I talked to you about this before, where we'll move money around, where we'll put money from future workout bonuses in. We'll make it active roster bonuses. We'll add incentives, what I call earnables, right, Ross? So not a bonus, not tearing up a number and replacing it with a new number. So we've done that, and that's kind of a compromise way. This lends itself to what you just talked about with lack of guarantees. They could say, okay, Julio, that whatever it is, 10-5 this year, fully guaranteed. Now, would that satisfy him? Probably not. I'm not going to cut him, right? But they could look at their team and say, wow, you know, we didn't go above and board, but we did give him a guarantee. Even that, I think the Falcons would have a problem doing, or even moving up money, not because Julio Jones is not worth it, because of that word I always use, precedent. I'm a lawyer, and I'm also a former team guy. I know everything has a reaction, even for lesser players than Julio Jones. Why deal with it?
So conversely, David Johnson from the Arizona Cardinals did report, and I don't want to compare their situations because they're very different. Julio just made $47 million, and David Johnson's in the final year of his rookie contract coming off of an injury. But I guess the question is, all things being equal, does a guy have a better chance to get a new deal if he reports to camp and is there participating, or if he holds out?
Oh, I think you got to say the former, because then there is a move by the agent and the player, like we're gonna work on this. There is an acceptance that holding out doesn't accomplish anything, and it has financial implications, especially with this new CBA for someone like a David Johnson, who's in his fourth year. That's going to be a problem. But yes, get to camp and work something out. Now, it does give the player a little leverage down the road. If nothing does get worked out, you get into the situation next year and there's a lack of trust that they didn't work it out. I'd like to know with David Johnson if that was actually a quid pro quo. You come to camp, we'll work on a new deal. I don't know if it was. But one other point about David Johnson, I think he is one of the key players in the NFL right now for contracts. Why? Because there's no market right now for running backs, second contracts, zero. We talk about Devontae Freeman and Jerick McKinnon as a free agent, 6 to 7 a year. And then Le'Veon Bell is up at 14 a year. But he's got to be the guy that breaks the seal on a real second contract worth, I don't know, $9, $10, $11, $12 million a year. I really want to watch that because he's worth it. And then we'll get to the Fournettes and Elliotts and McCaffreys down the road. But this sort of middle-tier running back, we've got to find a market. It's really cratered. There's nobody. And that's why Le'Veon Bell couldn't get a contract done. If I'm the Steelers, well, I'm not negotiating against ghosts. There's no one else. So David Johnson's a really interesting guy to watch.
You also wrote recently about Aaron Rodgers' contract, which I think is fascinating, Andrew. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's a fantastic player. But, you know, he says he wants to play till he's 40. He's 35, and they got him under contract for 2 more years. Then they could franchise tag him twice. That's I'm not a big math guy, Andrew. That's 39. The Packers really don't have to do anything here.
Yeah, this hits home because, as people know, I did these contracts for the Packers for almost 10 years, and I love Aaron as a friend, as a former colleague, and as a fan. I think he's the best player in the league. But here we are. I write about this in MMQB as Sports Illustrated this week, Ross. The bottom line is there's a lot of talk about new theories to do a contract adjustable if the market changes. Wouldn't Julio Jones love that? Or percentage of cap? Wouldn't every player love that? I don't think that's going to happen. I think the biggest obstacle to this contract is what you just said. There are 2 years remaining. The Packers, as I know so well, are always proactive. Never let a guy like Aaron Rodgers get free within even 2 years. They're actively doing something. I think the Packers want to do this deal more than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, does, as the best player in the league, should have a ton of leverage. The 2 years negates that. Because, you know, say that the extension years are like 31, 32 a year past Matt Ryan. Well, he's still got 2 years at $20 million a year. So you factor that in, his average is going to be, I don't know, 26, 25. And then he says he wants a shorter deal. Well, he's already got 2 years left. What is he going to do, add 1 year? Or, I mean, this is the obstacle of this contract. I feel for Aaron because this may not be the time to negotiate. His leverage is vastly higher in a year and then much vastly higher in 2 years, assuming franchise tags, they don't start going down that road. So the biggest obstacle to this contract is the remaining years. Packers would love to do a deal, but they're going to factor in those 2 years, which I'm not sure is the right thing for Aaron.
That's so interesting because I would have looked at it the other way, and I would have said, because that he's under contract for 2 more years, underpaid, that Aaron Rodgers would be the one that wants the deal done more than the Packers. I'm confused on your logic there. You're saying that the Packers want the deal done now because they have the leverage to get a favorable deal done now. But I would think Aaron Rodgers is way underpaid, so he's the one that really wants a new deal.
It's a good point. I'm responding to some of this stuff about adjustable contracts and percentage of cap, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be this groundbreaking contract. If he was a free agent, sure. If he was Kirk Cousins, sure. This would break all records. But I'm saying Aaron Rodgers may not get the contract he wants now because of those 2 years, because the Packers are going to say, we're going to make you the highest paid player in the league. Fine. But to get any kind of special clauses or anything like that, that's not going to happen with 2 years remaining before free agency. He just doesn't have that leverage. Now, could they put in some kind of escalator if the market changes? Yes. But as I detail in my column, you can't tie the management council. The NFL approves all these contracts. They won't let you tie a player's contract to other players' compensation. You know who I tried that with? A guy named Aaron Rodgers. Because when we did his rookie contract, I wanted to tie it to when Brett Favre retires in terms of all these escalators and all these incentives. And they shot it down. And then I said, okay, when such starting quarterback for the Packers retires, no, shut it down. they would not let us tie any compensation levels to the actions or compensation of another player. So think about trying to do something now like that. I have the precedent. It was Aaron Rodgers. We weren't allowed to do it.
One of the other major topics this week, Andrew, which is equally as interesting, is whatever's going on with Josh Gordon. Kind of weird that both he and Browns general manager John Dorsey, with whom you're very familiar, issued statements. Josh Gordon's not going to be at camp. He said everything's good. He just wants to make sure everything's in line and the way it needs to be, following his doctor's orders, I guess. The most curious aspect of it, Andrew, is the NFL saying that they will address it at the appropriate time. I mean, you know, we're not here to speculate. I guess I'm hoping you can read between the tea leaves a little bit.
It is interesting that he's on an NFI non-football illness list, which tends to be something outside, as it sounds, like football. So it's not practicing or playing football. It's not an injury. Something beyond that, which points to psychological, which points to mental or whatever's going on. All I can say is this, Ross, a hallmark of the drug policy, a hallmark of it, the tenet of it, is confidentiality. And that's why everyone's dancing around this. John, GM of the Browns, the player, the league, the union. Something's going on, as we surmise, but they can't talk about it. I don't know if it was a relapse, if there are some real psychological issues, but like you said, we're just guessing game. And the one thing that's coming out from all these statements, the way I read it, is no one's going to talk. This is highly confidential.
In your time with the Packers, and you're probably not able to even give the names, but did you have to deal with drug issues, substance abuse issues, and how difficult can that be, and what's the process like?
Yeah, I mean, when guys are in the program, you're aware as a medical director and you're aware as an executive who's in, and the testing can be pervasive. They're in your stage two, it's 10 times a month, and they may call. You have to be aware that the player was advised at 6 in the morning and has 4 hours to produce a sample. It gets really sticky in the off season when they're trying to locate these people. You're dealing with, as crude as it sounds, you're dealing with specimen collectors that have different schedules. In Green Bay, these were retired guys that were doing this. And you're trying to coordinate all that, as I was, vice president of administration. I've said to you this many times, what people don't realize about working for a team is how much of these logistics you're dealing with on the medical side. And the drug testing program is a really highly intensive labor process where we literally had to find guys on days off that they needed to test and bring them in. You know, 6 a.m. is a four-hour window starting. I remember calling girlfriends, friends to get one guy in by 10 o'clock. And we were able to do that. That's why it's so confidential.
Yeah, and it sounds like, Andrew, there's some discussion of maybe the NFL being a little bit more lenient. I know that's been speculated because there are these reports about Martavis Bryant and the Raiders bracing for a suspension, but nothing's happened. You know, we don't know what's going on. The NFL is going to address Josh Gordon at the appropriate time, but nothing's happened. It'll be interesting, you know. On my radio show, it's amazing how many people call up, truck drivers, guys in the military, and say, Ross, I fail one test, I'm done. I'm out. And yet there's other people that say, hey, if it's only marijuana, who cares? The NFL's drug policy is too stringent. So it's almost like you got people on both sides of the drug issue.
Yeah, let me just say this, because I for the second side of it, when people say, well, 8 games for marijuana and 4 games for beating your wife or 6 games for Elliot, whatever it is, please understand, we say this all the time, the commissioner has discretion on conduct. The commissioner has no discretion on drugs. Drugs is built into the collective bargaining agreement. You want to blame someone, blame the league and union together. Blame the Players Association for agreeing to these, stepped up to 8 games when it's a significant number of tests like Josh Gordon. So please don't equate that. And as you said, there are people on the other side, one drug test, they're gone. So there does seem to be some leniency. And the timeline, Ross, is really interesting because What Jameis Winston showed us, that we have a three-game suspension 2 years after an incident with an Uber driver, is that we never know. I mean, timing, this, whatever Josh Gordon's going through could have been something a year ago.
What do you got going on the Business of Sports podcast this week, Andrew?
You know what? I'm going to try again to get a couple of the players that were talking about the anthem policy, like a Kenny Stills, like a Russell Okung, and see sort of get into what the players are really looking for then. Because, as you know, it's now up for debate again. I mean, the anthem policy has been called off, and the union and league are trying to create something new. It was a clumsy policy to begin with. Hopefully we'll have a player talking about that. I'll certainly be doing the rants, and I have some questions to answer. You can always call in for the Business Sports Podcast. I'll answer them on the air.
Andrew, thanks so much for the time, as always.
It was great, Ross. Thanks.
So the only negative of getting a chance to talk to Andrew in person yesterday was that it was before Todd Gurley signed the contract. So I'll give you my thoughts on that. The Tux takes momentarily, and maybe we'll even talk to Andrew about it, you know, next week. But it is interesting to hear Andrew talk about the running back market as it relates to David Johnson now that Gurley signed the deal that we'll talk about in a little bit. Speaking of talking about it, I know a lot of you guys are hesitant to really talk about your hair loss or hair thinning. Look, I get it. I mean, I think I noticed it a little bit at my wedding when I was 26, you know, looking back at the wedding video. I even look at it in some of my football pictures. Mid-20s, you could tell that I'm starting to lose hair, and I wish I had started taking the medicine I've been taking for at least 5 years. I wish I had been starting to take it back then, because that's when you can really keep what you have. So I've been taking, you know, a topical medicine, you know, for the top of my head. I've been taking a pill as well for over 5 years now, and thankfully, a company just started up called Keeps.com. They basically let you get the pill and the topical medicine in the mail for a lot less than they are at the pharmacy. So you save a trip to the doctor because they have online doctors. You just answer a few questions and take a picture of the top of your head like I did. And then you also don't have to go to the store to pick up the medicine. And number three, you're saving money. This company, I can guarantee you guys, as a guy that has thinning hair, has lost hair, and is trying to keep what I still have for TV and stuff, this company is going to kill it. Kill it. Because it's a no-brainer for people that have been taking the medicine. To get your first month of treatment for free, I, of course, already did this, but I'm going to be a Keeps.com dude for life. Go to Keeps.com/Ross Tucker. That's Keeps.com/Ross Tucker. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/Ross Tucker. Keeps. Hair today, hair tomorrow.
Tux takes.
All right. Well, you just mentioned Todd Gurley. 4 years, $60 million extension. He signs with the Rams. It includes a $45 million guarantee.
Right. So here's something very important to note. Okay. It's up to $60 million. On the 4 new years. So he still has his rookie deal, you know, with this is the fourth year. Then he has the option 5th year that they've already picked up. And then they extended him 4 more years after that. So the Rams now hold Todd Gurley's rights for 6 years. And what Todd Gurley gets in exchange for that is he gets a lot more of that money now. I mean, they could have just gone ahead and, you know, kept him on his rookie deal this year for peanuts, relatively speaking. They could have had him for the 5th year option and franchise tagged him a year or two, but they didn't do that. So that's a fair trade-off. But it's important to note, it's up to $60 million. So let's see the news come out about how much it really is. What the kind? Because up to $60 million, you know, that could be 3 years, you know, $5 million a year. And then the last year, you know, he could make 40 if he goes to the Pro Bowl and they win the Super Bowl and, you know, he marries Selena Gomez. I don't know. So up to is interesting. We'll see the details. Obviously, that's not what it is. I'm just making the point that up to means nothing. Let's see when the details come out and the base value of the deal. And then $45 million in guarantees usually means rolling guarantees. So $45 million guaranteed means you are getting those $45 million no matter what. $45 million in guarantee, you're getting some money now, and then a year from now, some more money will kick in as being guaranteed. And then maybe a year after that, some more money will kick in as being guaranteed. So it's not really guaranteed. It might be guaranteed for injury, which is important. Ask Cam Chancellor. But it's not necessarily, you know, guaranteed for skill, performance, etc.
Tux Takes.
Meanwhile, as you discussed with Andrew, Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones will not be showing up for training camp tomorrow. And reportedly, neither will Seahawks safety Earl Thomas.
So this is really, both these situations will be worth monitoring. We'll see if either one of these teams budges. We'll see if either one of these players is willing to actually skip games. I don't think the Seahawks are really going to budge unless they get the trade deal that they're looking for, because I think they think Earl Thomas is too much value for the trades they've been offered right now. And they can keep Earl Thomas for this year. They can franchise him. And I don't think that they have necessarily Super Bowl aspirations for this year anyway. So they've already proven with Cam Chancellor that, look, if the guy is going to, you know, miss a game or two, they're willing to fight through that. They can live with that. So that part of it's interesting. As for Julio Jones, Falcons are a little different situation. I kind of agree with Andrew. I don't see them budging, but do they want Julio Jones to miss a game or two or three? What if they lose a game they would have won with Julio, and that's the difference between whether they win the division or not? And then whether they win the division or not, it's the difference between being the 2 seed or the 1 seed or the 5 seed. And then that's the difference between them going to the Super Bowl or not. I'm not saying that, you know, that you could ever prove that, but it's just something to keep in mind for sure.
Tux Takes.
Some other player news includes the Giants signing linebacker Connor Barwin, the Bills signing linebacker Keenan Robinson, Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory being fully reinstated, Patriots trying to trade Malcolm Mitchell, Johnny Manziel gets traded to the Montreal Alouettes, and as you discussed with Andrew, Cardinals running back David Johnson did show up for training camp.
So I'll go in reverse order like I like to do sometimes, Bri. Totally, I think David Johnson's probably doing the right thing there so that he makes sure he at least gets the credited season. And he's coming off of an injury. And my guess is they'll be more willing to work with him now. They need some positive news out there in Arizona. Looking forward to seeing Manziel actually get a chance with the Alouettes. That should be entertaining. I'm hoping that happens. Randy Gregory. Now, this is important. I just saw where he has a personal accountability coach that's rooming with him. So for all the time when, you know, people want to say, oh, the NFL just throws these guys out. They don't even help these guys. They just toss them to the curb. It's just not true. And for Connor Barwin, the Giants, I think, wanted somebody else that they knew what they were doing as an outside linebacker in a new 3-4 defense.
Tux Takes.
Any other thoughts on Josh Gordon in Cleveland?
Not really. I mean, we'll just have to see it play out. I think it's ominous that the NFL said that they will address it at the appropriate time. But other than that, I know we've been talking about it on Tuckheads. I don't know, and maybe some of you have a history of addiction or abuse, or maybe you work with people with addiction or abuse, and maybe he just felt himself getting into a bad place and thought it would be best to not go back to training camp. I don't know. It's just hard for me to think that there's a doctor's protocol that thinks it's a good idea to not actually show up at training camp with your teammates.
Tux Takes.
All right, and the last thing I know you took note of was Titans cutting 2016 second-round pick Kevin Dodd after he failed to show up for training camp.
Right, and I think that's a dangerous precedent for the Titans to set. All I'm saying is they were not going to cut him on July 24th until he didn't show up for training camp. He wasn't happy there. He wanted out, and not showing up for training camp, he's getting what he wanted. You know, Andrew always talks about precedent. The book is now out that if you're not happy, don't show up for training camp, and you'll get what you want. You'll get released. That's a dangerous precedent to set. And it's also dangerous how many of you still have not gone to the homepage over at rostucker.com and make sure you put our Amazon banner ad somewhere where you will not forget it, so that any time you need to buy something at Amazon, you know where to go first. We greatly appreciate those of you that make sure the Amazon banner ad that turns into a landing page, and just make sure you have that landing page somewhere where anytime you're going to make an order, you can do it. Yes, you can do it with Google, with Amazon Prime. My wife's like the Amazon Prime superstar, and she always goes through that landing page first. So it's on the homepage at rostucker.com. Let's get to an email, Bri.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Email address, ross@rostucker.com. You know the deal. Take advantage of any of our awesome sponsors. Forward it to me, ross@rostucker.com. A, you can ask a question. And B, you now get until September 1st, a free month at tuckheads.com. We got more and more people rolling in. It's awesome. I mean, it's getting lively over there.
All right, today's question. Hey, Ross. Hey, Brian. I ordered some Saks underwear a while back, and they are indeed comfortable both every day and especially for long airplane trips and yard work in the Georgia heat and humidity. So will you explain what a, quote, check with me is? As you know, I've watched football since childhood. Did you know that, Ross, that he watched football since childhood? And that he's heard this spoken many times, but never explained. It sounds like kind of an audible, but obviously the me is the quarterback. But who is doing the checking, and what are they checking about? Also, sticking with quarterbacks, why can't defenses jump the snap count more often? It seems more predictable than one would think. Quarterbacks have unique styles, like Aaron Rodgers and his green 18 hut, Cam Newton with his long ready, and Breeze with blue 80. That last one is so popular that someone actually made t-shirts. They do hard counts or vary the cadence sometimes, but not as much as I would expect to keep defense off balance. And how hard was it for you to adjust to different quarterback styles? That's from Tuckhead Russell, a Hoodat in Falcon Country.
Yes, Russell Gutierrez. And I do know he's been a longtime fan since childhood because he posts pictures of himself at Saints games when he was really young on tuckheads.com. He's big into uniforms too. I love Russell. I love Saks underwear, Russell. You cannot go wrong with that bad boy. So several different questions. I do think that teams should vary up the snap count more. And I think that, you know, they probably do it more than you realize. And so you really got to be careful if you're a defensive lineman, because there is first count. Like, you know, if you'll hear Brady sometimes say, Omaha, blue goat. Now, I think people should jump that more often. So I'm surprised more defenses don't jump on that, because anytime he says Omaha, it's blue go and it's time to go. So that's an interesting point. But there's first count, there's first sound, there's second sound, there's on one, there's on two, and they do try to jump it. I mean, defenses go offsides. They do try to jump it, because just when you think that they've got it figured out is when they'll end up going ahead and, you know, changing it up on you. It does vary from quarterback to quarterback, so you have to be aware of that. They all have slightly different cadences to their cadence, if that makes sense. And as far as a check with me, it's usually like two plays are called in the huddle, and it's a check with me to know which one we're going to run. So sometimes they'll just cancel the one, so it'll be they'll kill it, right? So it's a run tied with a pass, and they'll kill. It's the pass. They'll say kill, 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 which means it's the pass. Or if it's a check with me, depending on the look, it might be a run to the right or a run to the left. If it's a run to the right, maybe it's a G scheme where the guard pulls. If it's a run to the left, maybe it's lead week, you know, where nobody's pulling. But it's based on the look. And sometimes it depends, you know, do they want to go to the shade, which is the nose tackle, or do they want to go to the three technique? So when you get up there, frankly, a lot of times you already know what's the quarterback's going to do. He sees the front and he makes the check. And a lot of times he'll do it in his cadence. So if you're going to go to the right, he might say, blue 28, blue 28. If you're going to go to the left, maybe it's, you know, blue 47, blue 47. And 47 is the left, 28 is the right. And you just know that. So he might not even say, you know, kill, kill. Or anything. You might just have to listen to his cadence and know what play you're running based on his cadence. There's so many different ways to do it. It's a good question, Russell. Like, that's an awesome thing that I am not smart enough to come up with on my own to talk about on the show. But you just created great. I'm at this podcast conference, right? You just created great content, I think, humbly, Russell, by asking me something that I wouldn't have thought to bring up myself, which is why I love it. Keep the emails coming, ross@rostucker.com. It's a Wednesday, which means we've got the fantasy feast for you. How about Matthew Berry, the most well-known fantasy dude in the world? From the four-letter network, Matthew Berry is today's guest on the Fantasy Feast. Tomorrow, we'll have both Packers running backs, Aaron Jones, as well as Jamal Williams on the feast. We'll have Christian Kirk from the Arizona Cardinals. So the feast is doing big things this week. Make sure you're subscribed to that one as well so you can hear that. And then also, of course, we already posted the college draft, breaking down the Big Ten studs. And we broke down the AFC West. Steve and I both had some bets, but you got to listen to the Even Money podcast to know exactly what bets we liked. That'll do it for a Wednesday edition. We'll be back on this show on Friday with another awesome guest. We got it rolling right now on all the RT Media podcasts. Please, please, please give us those retweets and those likes on Facebook. It's the easiest thing to do and the easiest way for you to win. And you can just rate and review the show, too. That's another way to win. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.